Frank Reno is a former University of Windsor Lancers football player and CFL alumni, now motivational speaker and mental health advocate. Join me, Drake DeMora, as we talk to Frank about his journey through the sport of football and how it led him to where he is today.
Hello, how you doing? It's Zach Caskey.
Adam Henrique.
Joe Siddle. Tom Crawford. Todd Warner. Brett Romberg.
TJ Laramie. And
holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Drake DeMora, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Windsor's only a local radio sports show and podcast, live here on CJM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit on Thursdays at 12:30, and replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. even during this pandemic. But of course, you can listen to every episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast on windcitysports.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any podcast platform. We also have a YouTube channel, as well as our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram page at WindCity_sports. So give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. But we'll talk about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. But today is Thursday, April 16th, 2020, and it's episode 191 of Wind City Sports. Man, this quarantine is really sitting in each week. It's starting to get at me a little bit sometimes when I do the podcast, because I start to try and rally up all this local sports news or any sports news of any sort and have a lot of trouble doing so. And it's just kind of just so sad to not have sports in the world. But again, that'll be as much as we talk about COVID-19, hopefully, for today, as here on Wind City Sports is something that we don't want to talk about. We want to bring you what we normally do, and is those stories of our people in Windsor, obviously more specific in the sports world, whether they be a coach, entrepreneur, athlete, or whatever it may be. And this week on Wind City Sports, we have a pretty fitting interview with a former Windsor Lancers football player turned CFL player, now mental health advocate and motivational speaker, Frankie Reno. Hear all about Frank's journey through the sport of football, from here in Windsor over to the CFL, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who he played for. Hear about, you know, his journey through the sport and life, really, how mental health was an issue for him throughout his entire life, and how it kind of led him to where he is today, using it to benefit both himself and the world. He's also doing a lot of things outside of that in regards to personal training. He's training the Lancers football team as well, and started a little side business, as you'll hear about probably next week in the show. So a little spoiler alert, we did split this into two interviews after running through, you know, most of his time here in Windsor before going off to the CFL and all that. I figured that's an episode right there. We can continue this for 2 weeks. So we're going to do that next week. And next week is when you'll hear a lot more about the motivational speaking, his mental health advocacy, and his struggles throughout life as well. But in case you missed it, there was a big article about him on CBC, local CBC website, at the beginning of the year. So I would definitely check that out if you want to read more about Frank. And obviously follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Frankie Reno. And you'll get to see more about his day-to-day life and, you know, learn more about him. So you're going to hear a lot about him today. You're going to really learn about the man that is Frank, the kid that was Frank, and him growing up here in Windsor after moving down from Ottawa, and then, you know, kind of finding football through other sports and, you know, making it to where he is today. So yeah, we're getting back to business this week on Wind City Sports. If you listened last week, thank you. It was a little bit of a different spin, a little bit of a different flair on the show. Again, just kind of getting bored in the quarantine, decided to do one with my brother, Darren. He's been on the show many times, so you can go back and listen to him. As mentioned last week, he's been on more episodes than any other guest I've ever had. I believe Aiden Prince is second with 3. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks for taking the time to listen to that one. Figured to do something a little fun and talk about how to stay active during the quarantine, how he is doing so, and how he's still providing personal training virtually, And that will be a topic with Frank, mostly next week, again, talking about, you know, how to stay mentally and physically healthy at home during this time. And something we might do in the future as well for an episode of Win City Sports. As you might have heard last week, we were supposed to call Cedric to get his UFC predictions, which didn't end up happening. And the event isn't happening anyway, so there's that. But another idea was to call up guys like him and other former past guests and trainers here in Windsor, like Shane Topolovich, and just kind of get different opinions from different people in Windsor live on the podcast. I'll sit here and kind of give my opinion, go through all these different methods, and literally call people on the phone and talk to them right then and there. So that's an idea that might be coming to the podcast over the next week. Who knows how long it's going to go and how it will affect Win City Sports going forward. But what I do know is we're about to get started into our interview with Frank Reno, former CFL player, OUA player from right here in Windsor, and now a mental health advocate, motivational speaker and trainer. Here we go.
Alrighty, right now on the phone we have a man who was actually born in Montreal, raised here in Windsor. He's University of Windsor Lancers football alumni and CFL alumni with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Hamilton Tiger Cats, now motivational speaker and mental health advocate, Frank Reno. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, as mentioned, so, you know, you were born in Montreal. When did you come down here to Windsor? And just kind of tell me about growing up here, what, you know, what your family was like, what area and school you went to, all that fun stuff, you know?
Yeah, I moved to Windsor back when I was like 12 years old, so in 2005. Been in Windsor for about 15 years now, a bit more. I went to Marlborough Public School in the West End, and I actually grew up in a home that's literally across the street from Forster High School, where I spent my 5 years in high school.
Oh, perfect.
And yeah, so I grew up in a little house. There was six of us in our home, and there was kind of like a weird vibe in there. There was four children in one little bedroom, so we had a bunk bed, and there was four of us, me and my brother were on top, and then my two stepsisters were on the bottom bunk, and that's kind of how I lived all of my grade school and high school.
Yeah, definitely, you know, like I said, everyone's got a different story, and that can certainly feel tough. But again, I mean, you're 12 years old, you moved down here, I'm sure it was a little bit nerve-wracking. You're at that age where, you know, you're old enough to remember, I'm sure. And were you kind of torn on it? Did you not want to leave? Or
yeah, I actually, for grade 6, grade 7, and grade 8, every summer I was like convinced we're gonna, because we lived in Ottawa too, so I was convinced that at some point we're gonna leave Windsor, move back to Ottawa, and I was just gonna go back to being like, I had one of my best friends, he lives in Ottawa, and I was convinced we were going back to Ottawa. That was it. And every year, my mother would always be like, yeah, we're moving this summer. And then someone would come around, I'm excited, and we'd never move. And then it just got to a point where I was like, all right, we're staying in Windsor, so I got to get used to this. And that's when I just kind of, like, committed myself to Windsor.
That's what I was going to ask, actually, if there was kind of that pivotal time where you're like, all right, this is it. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, there was just that moment in time where, like, I was really, like, I was a little kid, you know, so I used my hopes up all the time. We're going back, I would call, you know, Ottawa home at the time, and we're going back home, and eventually I was sick and tired of being disappointed about it, so I just kind of, I let it go, and I understood that Windsor was going to be home, and now I call Windsor home, like, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I love this place.
Mm-hmm. From what it seems, that's what I mean. I thought you were just a Windsor guy.
Yeah, I think Windsor is very blue collar, and that's what I love about it. You know, you see all kinds of little grinds going on. You see everybody doing their thing, just trying to make it. And I mean, the circle of friends that I was in, like, I would always be around people who were just working their butts off, just trying to make it. And it didn't matter what they were doing. There's some goal to achieve. Somebody's always working. I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's actually something I want to try and get into more with the show, is I'm finding groups of friends that are all, like, incredibly successful, and it's crazy to think that they're all together, you know, for probably maybe the same for yourself. There's a group of kids from Holy Names High School have come out of there, and one's Dakota Shepley. All of his friends, they're all musicians or actors or football players or something, so it's crazy to see the pools of people kind of coming from the bottom up and out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very motivating to kind of have that core group of friends and that small circle of people that you grew up with, because it keeps you focused at that time. For me, I was very fortunate. I had a couple of close friends that I grew up with. There was kind of more like the leader in that movement at the time was Emerson Alvarez. He was he's actually an engineer now, and he's kind of the guy that sparked that hard work mentality that I had in me. He watched a lot of Eric Thomas videos, and he put me on Eric Thomas, and then kind of Eric Thomas took off for me in that way. There was a moment in time in my high school career where I would listen to Eric Thomas every morning, and you know, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. I heard that every day. It was like a prayer for me every day. And that was, you know, thanks to Emerson. I had a couple more buddies. There was David McDuffie and Johnny Keogh. That was kind of like our little circle of friends at the time. There was Cindy Keogh, and just like a couple of other, you know, friends and acquaintances that stayed in our circle at that time. But yeah, you look at that group of friends now, and we're all individually doing our own things and being successful. And I'm thankful for that group of friends, because it was very, it keeps you motivated knowing that they're pushing, everybody's kind of pushing in their own direction to do their own thing.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure, you know, growing up, you were always involved in sports, you know, having those core people around you, being kids, mm-hmm. that's one thing you always do is kind of play games with the group. Right. So I'm assuming, aside from football, you played a lot of sports, growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I was always one to dabble in whatever sports that I could. For me, it was really, that was just an opportunity for me to, you know, get out of my comfort zone a little bit. I wasn't the most athletic kid growing up. Like in grade school, I was not very athletic, but I've always had this, like, I don't quit. Whatever it is that I want to do, I'll just do it, and I won't stop until I either succeed or, like, I just literally can't do it anymore because of whatever factors come into play that I just can't, I have to stop. And so when I was in grade school, I played basketball, baseball, soccer, volleyball. I pretty much did everything. Wasn't very good, didn't play much, but I was on the teams, and I participated as much as I could. And then high school came around, and I was very fortunate to go to, when I went to Forrester High School, it was a small community, but it was very talented. It was a very talented community. So I had the privilege of playing, you know, basketball with very talented basketball players that went on to do very successful things. And this is coming from a small school on the west side that mm-hmm. a lot of people would assume not much could come out of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so basketball, which I came to learn, you know, in reflection, if I was to mentor little Frank, I would say, little Frank, don't play basketball. Because I was always fouling. I was the guy fouling, so I would always go in, get a couple fouls. My coach would be like, you're crazy, get on the bench. So I'd sit on the bench all of high school. And I ended up, you know, I did basketball, I did baseball, I did volleyball. And then I was very fortunate to have one of my high school coaches. He was the football coach. We didn't have a junior team at the time, but in grade 10, when I was going into grade 10, he started a junior football team, and that's kind of like where football really took off for me. And I found it seemed almost like I found like this perfect sport that was a mixture of, you know, competition, running, and then something that I didn't know I loved. I know I love it now, but at the time I didn't realize how much I just loved hitting people. I loved it.
Yeah, man. To put it blatantly, that's everyone likes to do that.
Absolutely, just a little bit, and you know, in football, you get away with it. Not to sound like crazy or mean or anything, mm-hmm. but I get to go, and like for me in high school, I was going through a lot of things personally, and football was a great release for me. I got to, you know, be competitive, and you know, when I would tackle people, that was like a release for me, and it was very it was good for me. It was healthy.
Yeah, absolutely, healthy, man. Yeah, 100%. People might not realize that you know, the underlying positives and something that might come across negative. Mm-hmm. Before we get into that shift, it's kind of perfect to bring up, because as you mentioned, not a lot of people might not think that anyone could come out of Forrester and be successful. Obviously, it's gone now in Windsor. Had a weird reputation, had kind of a negative reputation, but the people that knew about it and went there obviously didn't think that. So I'm sure you can attest to that.
Absolutely, man. I can't. You can never replicate the community that was at Forrester. It was like the cool. When I say weird, I don't mean weird in that way, but just like it was the best mix where you had. It was very multicultural, so we had a lot of, you know, we had a lot of students from all over the world, and it's always funny when you look back. So I was a prime minister of the high school at one point, and we would do all these events, and we would have like the birthdays of everybody. And January 1st had the most people on January 1st because, you know, a lot of immigrants would come to Canada and they'd have to declare a birthday. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would just say January 1st. So it was just funny that, like, you know, it was just very multicultural. And with that, there were so many talented people. So it was just like this very close-knit community. And you could feel like so much love and support out of it. And again, what made it so special is because we had so many, you know, kids that come from, you know, war-torn countries and multicultural kids. They're just coming here to learn English and, you know, come to Canada to earn their place. And especially in Windsor, being blue collar, they fit right in with that hard work mentality. There was so much appreciation and gratitude that flowed through that school. There was just so much, you know, these kids, you know, were thankful, and I was thankful to be a part of it. It was such a loving community. The teachers, they knew everybody by name. It was just so cool. There was maybe 400 kids in the school, so everybody knew everybody there. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I mean, it's kind of a don't judge a book by its cover situation, I suppose, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many cases where, you know, myself included, where, you know, people looked at me in high school and they're like, oh, man, I don't know what this kid's doing. You know, and one thing leads to the next, and here we are, right? We're talking about, you know, crazy, crazy life stories that lead to great things, you know?
Absolutely, man. And as you mentioned, like, if you would go back and talk to little Frankie, tell him to shift away from basketball, did that actually happen where you decided to focus on football, or were you kind of split between the two sports during high school?
Well, in high school, I was that kid that just trying to find his way, you know, like, you know, Hercules, he sings a song just like, where do I belong? And you know, that little song. But I was just trying to like find my way. So sports was very good for me. But yeah, there was a point where I stopped playing basketball in high school because I got into wrestling. Okay. And I got into wrestling in my last year of high school. So my fifth year. So 2011 going into 2012. And, I got into wrestling really because I started realizing that I was way more aggressive than everybody. I was always about the physical. Basketball to me is more like a finesse sport. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like a big man in the key, which I wasn't. Like, I was like 5'11", but I wasn't, you know, the big man. I could rough people up, but I didn't really have that like basketball IQ that would allow me to play. But anyway, hopped into wrestling. The wrestling coach said, he's like, Frank, you're bigger, stronger, faster than everybody. Come to wrestling and you'll go to OFSA. I'm like, okay. You told me I'd go to offset? All right, I hopped in on wrestling. And so I did wrestling, and I ended up going to offset, placed in like top 10, which was sick. And that was actually a great opportunity for me to gain some confidence because I completely dominated. And I was just like, I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just stronger than people, and I outwilled people. And then I eventually, you know, got beat when, you know, I faced like a former offset champion, and, you know, me being kind of cocky at the time, I thought I was going to go in there and beat him up, and he just started throwing me around. He didn't pin me, but I lost. And so, yeah, that's kind of, I stepped away from basketball, and 2012 was my last semester of high school was in 2012.
Okay.
And so obviously like the winter semester going into the summer, and that was really when I just kind of like zeroed in on football. I had my second season of SS Ravens football, following my first season in 2011, where I earned a starting spot on the roster, despite pretty much anybody who knew me would have expected me just to like play on one special team. But I earned a starting spot in 2011. And then I decided to just like commit myself to football in 2012. So I went hard in the gym, trained my butt off, and I ended up, you know, like my weight fluctuated, and one thing led to the next, and I was about 205 pounds going into the summer. And summer of 2012, and yeah, at that point, like I made a commitment to myself that I was going to have a great season for the Essex Ravens in 2012, and I ended up racking up 15 and a half sacks in 8 games. And for me, that was like, that's pretty exciting, because I look back and reflected on it, and I didn't get sacks in two of those eight games. The two games that I didn't get sacks in, we ended up losing. So to me, it was like, man, like, I could have been like a game changer. Maybe if I, you know, figured out a way to get a sack and make that extra play, we could have won those games. And then, you know, playoffs was the same situation. We lost in the first round, and I didn't have a sack in the game. Not that it's all about me and my production or anything, but I definitely felt there was a correlation between my production and us winning games. But, you know, that's how she goes.
No doubt, man. So obviously you're playing high school. You're playing for Essex Ravens. How do you end up on the Lancers?
I was really cool. It was a really cool story. I was kind of doing my thing, playing football. And actually, my goal was to go to Ottawa and play football there. Okay. I was going to go to Ottawa. I applied, and I didn't end up getting accepted. But I was very fortunate that in my last year, so my fifth year, 2011 into 2012, the defensive coordinator at the University of Windsor was Jim McDougall. And he was actually our gym teacher at Forster for that year. And so I just kind of like connected with him, and we'd talk here and there. And I didn't really think much of it, to be honest with you. I was just doing my thing, just going to school. I had to get my grades up to get into HK at the University of Windsor, which I was very fortunate enough to do. I got in, but yeah, just, you know, he asked me if I wanted to go play ball at the University of Windsor. And I didn't think much of it. I was just like, okay, like, I have another opportunity to play football. And Ottawa wasn't working out. So I was like, okay, here we go. I'm going to go to the University of Windsor. And one thing led to the next. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, get accepted to the kinesiology program at the university. And I was offered a spot as on the University of Windsor football team.
That's cool, man. Connections are everything.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Pretty neat that the defensive coordinator was our high school coach, so good to know.
Again, like I said, it fell into place, and you got to stay home and do it, and it seemed like it was kind of a pivotal time that you came into the Lancers. It was Joe DeMore's second year as coach. How did you feel going in?
Well, I was actually, like, I wasn't really looking at the bigger picture of it. I was just like, man, like, I get to play football at the university, so for me, I was just, you know, I kind of went in, and, you know, my eyes were just, you know, wide open. I was like just taking it in. I was like, all right, I'm here. So let me just do what I've always done and just go hard. And I was very fortunate because there was another linebacker who recruit at the time. His name was Reese Mahler. And, I'm very competitive. So I was just always looking at him like, I got to beat him. That was my goal. I had to beat Reese. And, you know, it was in reflection, I was a bit too competitive sometimes, because I was always, that was it. I was like, if you're my competition now, I got to crush you, da da da. But that's like my teammate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just very, it was very eye opening to the fact that there's a lot going on in football. I didn't understand the X's and O's as much as I did going into that first year. So it was just fun to experience that whole, you know, that next level of football.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, like you said, you were just eyes wide open all the time, just taking in as much as possible. And again, it was kind of a transition year. And then by 2014, you guys really turned the team around. That was Austin Kennedy's last year. Highlight for yourself probably too, you know, receiving honors from the OUA and from the team as defensive player in the year. So I'm sure that was a big year for you.
Yeah, personally, that was a fun year. That was my third year playing football. I had an exciting year. Made some good plays, and as a team, we were doing well. And we were, you know, Austin Kennedy last year, we were in a position where we could have, you know, made a nice run into the playoffs. And then fortunately, we stopped short, you know, playing Ottawa at home.
Yeah.
We were in the right. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, we were in third place and just, you know, ready to go. And that was an unfortunate game. Yeah, it was tough.
I imagine. And you even held some records during that time, if I'm not mistaken.
As far as I know, our coaches never really told us about the records, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, like, not to toot my own horn, but I think they said I had, like, the forced fumble record, which was something I actually, like, prided myself on. That was, like, for me, that was my thing. I was like, if I could find a way to get the ball, I wanted that thing. So I would, you know, I think I had over like 20 turnovers altogether, or takeaways that I made between stripping the ball and INTs and block punts and stuff like that. So yeah, like I prided myself on those big plays.
Yeah, if you look up your profile there, it does say that, and I think there's another one on there, but I'm sure as long as they haven't been broken, those are still yours.
Sick.
So after that, like I said, that was a big season, but you still had two more with the Lancers, and from there is when you went off to the CFL, 2017, starting in Winnipeg. So how did that all come to be for you?
That was a blessing, man. I mean, long story short, in between that time, so that was 2014, and then 2015, like the following year, that spring, I went to the East-West Bowl, which was an all-star game, and I actually tore my ACL, which really, like, it didn't set me back, but it pushed me, it put my dreams on hold for a little bit. I had to take care of myself, take care of my body, which was a blessing, and one thing led to the next. You know, I went and I didn't play that 2015 year. And then in 2016, I got drafted by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the eighth round, which was actually added that year. So they added an eighth round to the draft, and I was drafted 63rd overall to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, which was an absolute blessing because I didn't play in 2015. So I didn't. Not only did I not play in 2015, I did not attend the combine. I didn't go to any combines, and as far as the CFL scouts knew, about me, was the last thing they saw of me playing on a football field was how I did at the East-West Bowl, which I'm very proud. You know, I think that speaks a lot to how I played on the football field, and I'm very thankful for my, you know, my drive and ambition, because everything that I did kind of put me in a position to have that opportunity. And yeah, so 2016 I got drafted to Winnipeg, and I went to training camp, which is pretty exciting for me because I'm fresh off of a torn ACL, which that in itself is a battle physically, but what's more of a battle to me is the mental aspect, where you have to go back out on a football field knowing that you've been hurt before. And I'm very thankful for my mentality, because from the moment that I tore my ACL back in 2015, I promised myself that I would come back on the field an absolute monster and way better than I was, and I did. And for me, what was exciting is I made a jump from, you know, 2015 playing college football to a torn ACL to 2016. Just about 12 months after tearing my ACL, I'm playing in a professional football game.
Yeah.
So that for me, that's like, that was incredible. I went from high school, I went from university, torn ACL, to professional. And if I'm being honest, like, I didn't do bad. I had like five tackles in half of a quarter, and you know, I was really happy for myself. I was like, you know what, like, you did well. You know, I was very, very impressed with myself. So it was nice. It was really nice.
Well, 100%, man. That's an accomplishment, to say the least. I mean, people wouldn't realize what happened to you prior to that, right?
Yeah, you know, and like that torn ACL really, yeah, like, it really shifted me, but I'm very thankful for it, because to a lot of people, they would see it as a setback. For me, that was an opportunity to step my game up, because now I needed to go to another level. Not only was I preparing for a professional football career, but I was rehabbing a knee. So that there's so many factors that went into play, and I'm just thankful that I had, you know, all the resources around me, you know, with, not to mention the head coach, Joe DeMore. He had connections with the Western Mustang that, you know, got me into surgery 3 months after I tore my ACL. And wow, the rehab process was incredible. I'm very thankful for Kathy. And she took great care of me and really helped me focus on my core strength and all these little things that I had no clue about. I wasn't never taken care of. And it was such a blessing. I learned so much from it, which, you know, prepared me to take my game to that next level.
Definitely, man. You got to find the positives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, damn, Frank, we're pretty much through an episode here, and we're pretty much just getting started. How about we say we do two episodes, and we'll have you back next week as well. Continue talking.
All right. Word? Okay.
That's good?
Yeah, man, for sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Drake Jamora back here on the podcast. That was Frank Reno. We just heard from a few moments ago there. Joined me on the phone last week to do a stellar interview. Thanks again to Frank, but that's not it. He's going to be back next week. Obviously, if you weren't paying attention, we're going to have Frank back to continue his story. Well, we'll really get into, you know, playing for the CFL, the kind of struggles and journey that he went through both on and off the field during that time, and how it's led him to where he is now. And obviously, during this time, I'm assuming nothing major is going to change in the next week, but Frank will give us some advice on how to stay mentally healthy during these times. So tune in next week for part two of Frank Reno. Some takes from that first part of the interview is him saying that he got into wrestling in high school is something I was going to bring up with Frank after he said it, and maybe I should have, but I figured we would have enough content to cover just by talking to him. But getting into wrestling in high school as an athlete, I'm surprised that more football players don't, you know, at least on the defensive side. When I'm watching football, these guys going for tackles, they're usually, you know, shooting for the legs, trying to grab both knees and take them down, or just straight up like double leg them or something. So I was just thinking, like, why don't more, and maybe they do, maybe you know, uneducated on that, but maybe they're already out there training in the summer off season or on the regular, you know, training wrestling. Just some basic wrestling would definitely be beneficial, especially for defensive players, right? So that's something I was going to bring up with him, say, and maybe see if that's something that the guys like to do or don't for whatever reason. Maybe there's a reason why they don't. Who knows? I don't know, but I'm sure someone else out there does. So hit me up if you do. I always thought that was interesting. And the other thing that I had to bring up with him, at least, which I don't think it was like a huge point of the interview, but a decently big point in regards to the person, that's Frank Reno, and that he is from the West Side here in Windsor, went to Forrester. It kind of brings up the person that is Frank as a Windsorite. As I mentioned with him, Forrester certainly did not have a good reputation, but now that it's kind of an afterthought, it's closed now. People always say, like, oh, that was one of the best schools. So that's why when he said he went there, I figured let's elaborate on that a little bit, to kind of get to know him a little bit more, you know. As I say, like I say the same thing with my grade school, like that kind of area. They say, oh, we were a family, we were more than friends. And a lot of people say the same thing about WD Lowe and even Forrester having a strong football system. Again, I figured that would be something that he can certainly attest to. And although I'm not a West Windsor guy, this is Wind City Sports, baby, and that's what we're doing. We're just promoting the city and promoting the people. So we're going to wrap it up with a tiny bit of sports and news. Don't have a lot. Really quickly, we have a lot of recruits to the Windsor Lancers. Windsor Lancers men's and women's basketball teams and volleyball teams have added some additions, as well as the football team. So a lot of recruitment still going on the Facebook group or Facebook page, I believe, or Twitter. Can't remember which one. Reshared an article about Cole Perbeau. I believe he's going off to the University of Toronto. I should know this. He's going to play hockey and get an education. As we talked to him just a few weeks ago, he was weighing in his options to see if he was going to do that exactly or try and go play pro immediately. So congratulations to him. And that being said, we had Cole Perbeau as an overager, Captain Luke Boca, and Thomas Stevenson, all overagers who, you know, didn't get a proper send-off, unfortunately, due to the circumstances. And there's an article recently out from Jim Parker on the Windsor Star with them saying, you know, we could have had a chance to come back and say goodbye. It's, as Cole said in the interview and Luke said on the article, this is a second home for them. So hopefully, maybe assuming the regular season starts in September 2020-2021 season as normal, that we will have maybe like an appreciation day for last year's overagers and kind of send them off well, have them come down, do some pregame ceremonies and drop the puck, something like that. I thought would be pretty cool and fitting to kind of bring everything full circle, since they obviously had the unfortunate end and not being able to play the end of the regular season. This is just a catastrophe, to be honest. But we also had the draft 2 weekends ago, so we do have some new additions to the Windsor Spitfires. Not something that I normally dig into a lot, because I mean, these OHL picks could be you know, might not play at all, or they could be playing tomorrow, or they could be so good that they decide to go elsewhere. So that was done two Saturdays ago, I believe. And yeah, so you can check that out on WindsorSpitfires.com to see who is our new additions to the fam. And check out their Twitter and Facebook. They're doing some cool stuff, trying to keep everyone entertained, streaming some old games, streaming some EA NHL 20 sim games. They're sending the playoffs. I believe they won the first round against Flint. And we'll be going on. Maybe I'm wrong. But they're always trying to find a way to entertain our fans online. And I'm going to do the same thing. I finally found the old Windsor Spitfires documentary from right after the Memorial Cup wins. So try and get that out on Twitch soon for everyone to watch on a live stream. But it looks like that's it this week on Wind City Sports. Simply not much more to talk about. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Thursday with a brand new episode of the podcast and radio show on CJAM 99.1 FM every Thursday, live at 12:30 in Windsor and Detroit, and replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. even during this pandemic. Of course, you can listen to every single Wind City Sports podcast episode at any time on windcitysports.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast platform. We also have a Wind City Sports YouTube channel with some exclusive videos on there. And as well as we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at WindCity_sports. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. And then when you're using the podcast, give us a review, please and thank you. Wind City is all one word if you're trying to find us, WINCITY. And you can follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram at Drake DeMore. But until next week, smell you later, and stay safe.